The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Mathematics and the Department of Independent Literature Publication, it's Professor Jeff Boats.
How's it going?
What's going on, Jeff? You got big news.
Oh, my first book comes out in about, 3.5 weeks from when we're taping, probably about when the show airs, actually.
Probably, yeah. So, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Blood Game.
It's a fantasy, I hope.
It's an espionage novel. It's about a... Basically,
no, it's nonfiction.
An autistic intel analyst who finally gets his shot at clandestine operations, and it's almost more than he can handle. But it's
very cool.
That's what it's about.
Very cool. And I know from having read that one that there's all sorts of, if you don't mind, like cool math in it. And I think that the way you integrated that was really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Write what you know, right?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You know, the key is you got to put it into layman's terms, though, right, because most of us aren't math geeks in the
right
world.
There's more layman than more. You
know? Yeah, I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying that most of that appears in Games of Chance, which I think is a great way to connect with your audience.
No,
right?
No, I think there's some other stuff, too. It's not just the gambling aspect of it.
Yes, yes, but that is one aspect of it. So exciting. Looking forward to seeing that on the shelves, as
cool.
I'm sure the listenership is as well.
Oh, let me just say one thing then, too, about anybody who buys that or any other book out there. The best thing you can do to help any author, other than obviously buying the book, is leave a good review, right?
Sure.
If you like it, right? If you don't like it, forget it ever existed.
We never know.
But if you like it, leave a good review. That really helps.
Excellent. Thanks for letting us know. We'll have you back and see how sales go over these next few months. It's exciting. And again, you haven't mentioned it yet. You're working on multiple sequels at this point.
Oh, the second book is done. We actually just figured out the cover today. And,
excellent.
And I'm working on the third. There's going to be at least three.
All right. Very, very cool. Professor Beth Oljar is here. A box of mince pies, which alas...
Oh.
They evaporated.
No, there's one left.
One left.
Yes, but I took a picture. I sent it to Drew. It said, bringing one home. Awesome!
It's perfect bite size. Absolute perfect bite size.
Yes, but we still have some mini moose cups from Westport. You know those little...
Oh, yes.
I mean, $2, but it's such a perfect little bite of dessert.
Yes, yes,
a little chocolate shell with some chocolate mousse in it.
You were hitting all the right notes. The students asked me on the first day of lecture, "Oh, how was your break?" And I just responded with one word: food. And
what
I think
break?
It was appropriate. So exactly. That's what else is there to do?
I'm sending
holidays?
People pictures of the Dutch baby pancake I made Christmas morning.
That's
I actually sent one to Matt.
Gorgeous! That was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I thought I sent that.
Just pouring right out of the pan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yummy.
Professor Dan Maggio is here with us today. I'm wondering what kind of food he will highlight from his break. One thing that really sticks out?
No, lots of cookies.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good.
I'm still eating my way through the final.
Yeah.
that looks good.
It was very good.
It was very big. So lots of cookies. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that? That's great.
Yep. Break was good. Spent a week up north.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. Nice break.
Very good. So. Very, very good. Excellent. Professor Jim Tubbs is here.
Hello.
And I think I heard bits and pieces of how your break went.
Oh, yeah. A lot of
successful.
Traveling around in North Carolina and Virginia.
Sure. Okay.
And good food. Very
and
good
food.
Food. Yes.
Excellent. Did you ever get tripped up by any crazy weather coming in that direction?
Well, last Saturday is when the snow was supposed to be going below us. But it actually started last Friday while I was driving. So I had snow all the way across the Pennsylvania Turnpike and then all the way across the Ohio Turnpike till I got to Toledo, and then it quit.
Well, it knows better.
Everything was below the Michigan state line, almost to a T.
I've been wondering, where is this huge storm that we're supposed to... I mean, Audrey got hit with it in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pretty much everywhere else this side, except for us in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I mean, between Cleveland and Toledo on the turnpike,
right.
I was having to follow behind a tractor-trailer truck because I had no idea where the side of the road was or where the lines were.
Jeez.
So you ended up delivering like a, you know, like a load of lumber and
no, there was nothing good on the truck.
Oh, I don't darn.
I think it was an Amazon truck, actually.
Oh, nice. So not a bad truck to follow.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Good to have you. Our street, including, of course, my house and your house, tend to keep up our lights a little longer than a lot of other people.
I'm leaving
do.
Mine up till June.
Oh, that's nice.
My Christmas tree is still up. I have not had a chance to take it down and
nothing
take all the decorations.
For all the grief that we go through in putting them up?
I know, seriously.
Oh, and by the way, Danielle, are you going to sneak over and switch out the orange lights for the yellow lights?
At some point, definitely.
Okay.
Jeez.
Right. Amazing blue at the Mayo House.
Yeah. I had Dan help me set up my Christmas tree because he's awesome.
Professor Aaron Bell is here with us, director of our writing program. We're so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
You have awesome Daria earrings on today.
I'm promoting CCS's Noel Knight a full 12 months ahead of time because I'm pretty sure
that's where I saw them.
These one of the things.
Sorry, Jim, they didn't have your size.
I think that's what I do. I go shopping for my kids, mm-hmm. and then whilst mm-hmm. there, I just I'm like, oh, those are cute.
Love the
like
air quotes around kids.
Yes, I usually get myself a bunch of things. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Last but most certainly not least, having just enjoyed a mince pie, Professor Danielle Maxwell.
Yes, it's good to be here.
Yeah, always good to have you. So you survived your second first week of a semester.
Yes, I did. It was a good first week.
So how many more? 58 more?
29 and a half more years.
Wow.
That is it. We're almost there.
It'll pass like a kidney stone.
I'm putting you having
It may
your...
not end in 29 and a half years. I'm sorry to
That's
tell you.
That's the goal.
Aspirational.
I'm putting you having had your second first week of the semester in the same bucket as my children telling me, hey, Dad, this guy is the first second gentleman, and he gets to say that for the rest of his life. I'm like, that's kind of a cool title.
That mm-hmm. is. It was a good first second week.
Yeah. My dad gave driving directions to my 16-year-old son last night, and I believe I overheard the phrase, what did he say? Just south of Northwestern, and you could see like the loading thing in my kid's face, like, you just said everything on the compass, right. Like in one sentence. What does that even mean? Anywho.
This Anywhere is a, you are is where you're meant to be.
That is exactly
I think that's
right.
what follows, right?
This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, folks. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. All right, let's see what we can do here. Hello, all. I thought it was time for another set of questions. Indeed. As always, thanks for including me on the show. I've enclosed 20 questions, and as Prof. Mayo likes to say, they're all over the board. Oh, yes, they are. 17 out of 20 is the passing rubric. Hope you enjoy. Here we go.
Ooh, that's steep.
Thanks to Steve Barney, our listener Steve Barney from Garden City. Good old
thank
Garden
you, Steve.
City.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Garden
more.
City.
Well, we haven't
Michigan.
Heard the questions yet, but thank
right.
you in advance.
Yeah, right.
If they're really
them.
Hard and we don't get any of them right, we officially withdraw the thank yous.
Yes.
Just kidding.
We'll send cash.
I think I'm going to say withdraw the course, right? We still have time to withdraw mm-hmm. if we don't, you know.
It's early.
Yeah. No penalties.
First week.
What is the name and where is it located? The smallest river in the world.
Depot Bay, Oregon.
You know, that's not what it says here, but it's definitely in the continental United States.
The Siletz River in Depot Bay, they have a sign.
How long is it? Because I've got stats here.
I'm not like kidding. It's really short.
Is that the sign of the river?
Oh. Well, that would win versus this, I can tell you. I'm just hoping that you'll be able to go to the old colored map here and maybe grab a
How
state
would
or two.
How it show up on the map?
Well, right.
I don't think it would.
Oh, it's
definitely not a lot
it's a
of
crap
rivers.
Shoot here.
I'm just wondering how they define river because
yes,
I mean, what's a stream and what's a river?
Yeah, what's a creek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
what's
you know,
river? If you can jump across, it's a stream.
Brook. Yeah, right. Or you know, I mean, my leaking sink doesn't count
oh,
as
real?
A river, does it?
Creeks are only in the south, Jim.
That is true.
True.
That is also true. Now it says here it's near Great Falls, Montana. It says the Roe River. Is 201 feet long, but it sounds to me like you've got something way shorter than that in Oregon.
I think the Siletz River is shorter than that.
Yeah, okay. We'll have to
time for some fact
get our crack research right. team. You know.
It's either that. Yes. We find our own river and make
Check
one
the
ourselves.
Definition
so not
of
a
river.
Lot of kayaking on that river?
When the kayak is longer than the river.
Mm-hmm.
You got different problems.
Oh, 67 miles. So there you go. I was wrong.
Oh, that's all right.
That's a long river.
Yeah, that's relatively long. This is only 201 feet long.
That's a baby.
I feel like there's a I-375 joke in here somewhere, but I'm going to leave it for later because we're not going to have that for
but
much
yeah,
longer.
I wonder what gives it the status of a river.
Right. Maybe some sort of width, although at that point, why isn't it a pond?
Tells me the speed of the water.
The speed of the water. Yeah, that's true. That's true. 201 feet long. That's just about the size of the Briggs Building. How many Earths do you think fit into the sun, approximately?
Oh, Dan? Jeff?
Oh, about a million.
It says exactly 1 million.
Oh, sure.
Sure, it's not exact, but yeah.
We'll give it to you. 1 million Earths. URF. Traditionally speaking, based on history, why is U.S. money printed in mostly green?
Harder to...
Counterfeit.
Harder to counterfeit. There was another reason, too. That's the Civil War era. Right. That's a good answer, but it's not what it says here.
It's on linen. It appears.
Is it easier to see?
Contrast?
You're getting closer, Dan. So there's a sort of a Civil War era and then a turn of the 20th century other reason. So yes,
ecologically sound?
No. No lead it's ecological. It was done psychologically.
Spend more. I don't know.
Oh, that's really good.
If you see it laying on the ground, you would recognize
originally
it.
Originally greenbacks.
All of these are really, really good responses. It says here that it was seen when it became official as a symbol of security. It needed to be something that you felt good about.
Like the green walls that I don't like. The institutional green.
That make you feel very insecure.
It's true. Green. It's true. In TV land, somebody lived at 704 Hauser in Queens, New York.
Archie Bunker
did.
And
Archie
Edith.
And Edith, yes, yeah. From All in the Family. That is correct.
How do I remember that? I have no idea.
I mean, I know why you remember that, because you never forget anything about classic TV.
I don't? Okay.
I am not a golfer. My brother-in-law is. I'm going to throw this one his way, because I've never heard it before. You know how a lot of golf strokes have different nicknames?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you have a par 5, but you score 2, it has a very specific name here.
Albatross?
It's called an albatross.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I played golf in high school.
Semi-professional golfer.
All I could think of was double eagle.
I was going to say double eagle,
albatross,
too.
Yes.
No, it's named for Polish restaurants. Oh, no.
I still remember when my dad taught me sort of the basics of golf scoring, because I had to do a... Mm-hmm. You know, current events presentation on sports or something in eighth grade homeroom.
Current events.
What is really fun about golf scoring in high school is that you have to keep track of everyone's score simultaneously while you're playing, so it's constantly doing math.
Wow. Wait, isn't there supposed to be honor in golf?
There's honor. We got to check each other.
So on the flip side, when you get a bogey, it's a double bogey, triple bogey?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they weren't as creative.
Yes.
When you go over par, apparently we're not as creative.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not as excited about that. We don't want that.
You get a single bogey, a penguin, and I'm trying to think of another
bird. Vulture.
I don't know. In the world of entertainment, I think many of us probably know who Paul David Hewson is.
Yes.
Bono.
Your letter writer.
Yeah. Yes.
Your correspondence course.
My hero.
I have a prediction I'm going to make about this next question here. What is 5 to the 5th power?
3,125.
That is correct.
Oh. Yes. That was the question?
Yeah. That was the question.
Okay.
My prediction was that Jeff would be the first to respond.
Or Dan.
3,125.
I was doing 625 times 5 when Jeff was.
I was like stuck on 25.
I need like glimpse inside your mind right now, just how you did that.
I would need a calculator.
Yes.
Fingers and toes.
If you know your Greek-rooted names, so the name I'm thinking of is Melissa, then you would be able to easily translate the word Melissophobia, which is not the fear of Melissas, but...
I don't know that one.
Melissa is a Greek word, and it means a thing that you could have a fear of, and if you figure that out, you're good to go.
Fear of carryout?
I'm a little surprised. It's an animal.
A snake.
It's not a snake.
No.
Spider.
That's arachnophobia.
You're getting closer, Beth.
What?
Ants.
No. Scorpion.
Roaches.
It's bees.
Bees.
Whoop, whoop.
Melissa means bee. That's a lot of syllables for almost a single letter, but Melissophobia is the fear of bees.
Or when Nichols had bumblebees on them.
Mm-hmm. This is why when people ask me if there's a difference between ethics and morals, I say.
Oh, yeah.
We have none.
No. One is comes from a Latin word meaning habit custom. Right. One comes from a Greek word meaning habit or custom.
Yes. Yes. We have this, and I know I've brought this up on this show before. It's been so long, Beth, this thing in chemistry. Valency, how many bonds an atom can make. And technically speaking, carbon is not tetravalent because that's mixing the Latin and the Greek at the same time. It's quadrivalent to make sure that we don't cross
over. This is why
to keep your languages pure.
The only thing we need to know about organic chemistry is
carbon
a fact
makes
about
four bonds.
That's the only thing. If you mess that up.
No, when in doubt, scream resonance. That's what I remember. That's what I remember about organic.
If you make five bonds to carbon, you hear him screaming down the hall.
Yeah, that's true.
Carbon is a bad name for a female that starts with W. That's all you need to know
it
about organic
chemistry. It
loves
to make
chemistry.
Bonds with other elements.
So
that's
I
right.
asked him that. I'm like, is this because like carbon is the basis of life? And he said, it also bonds. Lots of other elements. I'm like, okay.
It gets around. It gets around.
Oh.
Ooh, ooh.
Which group, performance group, musical group, had the most number two hits without ever hitting number one on the American Billboard chart?
Creedence?
It was Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Wow.
Yeah, how do you know
How'd
that?
How'd you get that?
Wow.
I don't know. They hung out with Archie Bunker. I don't know. I mean,
they had five number twos. Never went to number one.
Wow, that was...
That's just weird.
I could just hear him talking about the long hairs.
Based on knowledge, or was that a random guess?
No, I think it was like one of those $10,000 pyramid things or something, or a Jeopardy double, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
Who knows?
Again, that was in a world where the data was very easy to follow. How many records did you sell last week?
Records, vinyl.
We can't even ask that question anymore, right? So, yeah.
Huh.
According to anatomy, how many hearts does an octopus have?
Three.
Eight?
It says three. I know a lot of people said three there, so that is correct.
I actually got a book for Christmas about a woman who, she's lost her husband and her son has disappeared, and she's working in an aquarium to get some extra money to make ends meet, and she develops this relationship with this octopus who actually figures out what happened to her husband and her son. It's called Remarkably Bright Creatures, and I'm like, this is just odd enough of a premise that I would find it really interesting.
Is that based on a not true story, is it?
I wouldn't think so.
So, well, you never
Anything's
know.
Anything's possible.
They are smart animals.
Mm-hmm. It was smart. A premise for Shape of Water. Oh,
yes.
Well, with a little genetic engineering, the octopus might be able to donate one of its hearts to someone
That's
that
right.
needs it.
Let's not give cardiologists that idea. Or they
oh,
might
no,
be
we're, already
more
doing, we're already doing it. Oh.
Hey, come on. The octopus at the aquarium at Belle Isle is gone now all of a sudden.
What happened?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's just not there anymore.
Oh.
Well, you know they don't last that long. So 3 to 5
There's
years.
A little sign up that said gone fishing.
Yeah. F-I-S-S-I-O-N, right?
Yeah, exactly. How many times a year does the average person blink?
Whoa. Let's do this mathematically. How many times a minute?
Are we talking Gilbert Gottfried or real people?
How many times a minute?
Because then there's 525,000. Okay.
Yep. Maybe 20 times a minute?
8 times a minute would be 4 million.
I'll go with that.
Something like
if
that,
you can't
million?
Do math, I mean, see Rent.
Honestly, I think you're close. It says 10 because the average person blinks 20 times every minute.
Oh, how many hours are you awake? There's something we got to take into consideration.
Yes.
Yeah, for those of us who don't sleep much.
Right. And that's a very crude average.
What day of the week is it that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Assume most people sleep 8 hours and then deduct
eight.
That, right, from, well.
That's generous.
Yeah.
That is very generous.
You are all killing me right now.
How do they define blink? Can you blink while you're sleeping?
I don't
Not
think
so.
If you make
eyes are already
probably
closed.
An open and a close.
Yeah, REM doesn't count as.
Yeah,
I know that's an obvious definition, but.
Yeah, but.
Doesn't count as blinking.
You never know.
Approximately 10 million times a year.
I figured it had to be up in the millions given the number of times we do it a minute, so.
Four to me is close just by looking at, you know, you got to get in the ballpark for, you know, orders of magnitude, so I like that answer. What's the national animal of Scotland? Hint. This
unicorn
never existed in Scotland.
Unicorn.
The unicorn, yes.
It's amazing.
Then why didn't they make Nessie their
Japan. You want to try Trivium? You know, how many artist interpretations of that thing there? Too many.
True.
How many individual grapes make a standard bottle of wine?
Oh, I used to know this.
Oh. Let's go find out.
We've had this in a long time.
Let's go find out. Come on, Jim. Let's make it some
more. I feel like we need to ask Lucille Ball this question.
Yeah. I want to say it's like 3,000 or something like that.
3,000 is a little high.
A little high. Okay.
2,000.
A little high.
500.
And these are some mighty juicy grapes.
500 is getting way closer. It says it takes about 700 grapes.
That's not that many. Yeah. Let's go make some wine.
Ooh, probably from the same category of counting things. How many individual edges are on the standard U.S. dime?
Oh, you mean the little ridges on the side?
The little ridges?
Just like...
Oh, I remember this.
Guess about 88?
77, isn't it?
More. Wow.
I think 127.
Jim's a little closer. It's 118 is what it says here. So sure.
Somebody actually counted them, though.
Yes.
Somebody had to design the coin and say, not 119.
And not...
To four thou shalt not go.
Five is right out. Oh, my gosh.
Had to do the Monty Python. Right?
I'm going to have to send someone sent me a fake cover of Time Magazine last week. It was Enchanter of the Year.
I just posted that on Facebook.
I saw that.
Tim, Enchanter of the Year.
According to Jim Croce, what type of cars did Bad Leroy Brown have?
Custom Continental and an Eldorado too. Oh.
That is exactly right.
Are we talking Encyclopedia Brown, Leroy Brown?
No.
Oh,
it's
darn.
It's the song. It's the song. I think that if my wife, the pop presidential historian, was here, she would be like, actually. But who was the only unmarried president, as in unmarried the entire time he was president?
Buchanan.
It was Jim Buchanan is what it was. Yeah.
JB.
So, 15th president.
Should have.
Because his niece had to act as first lady.
Yeah, and there was...
But so did... I literally just finished a book called America's First Daughter, which was about Patsy Jefferson. Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
His wife died before he became president. He never remarried.
Huh.
He made a deathbed vow to his wife to never marry again because she didn't want, another woman having dominion over her children.
Sure.
So...
Well, I think the thing about Buchanan is he wasn't married before, he wasn't married during, and he wasn't married any time after. He was never married in his life.
Oh, so Jefferson actually was married once upon a time. Okay.
According to the Oxford...
Who would marry James Buchanan?
I mean
really?
I don't know.
Not one of our
cravat
better presidents.
The cravat was too high, According to the Oxford English Dictionary, there's only one word in the English language that ends in the letters M-T...
Verklempt.
Unkempt.
Now you said unkempt. That's a word.
That's got a P though.
That's got a P.
Oh, no, I was gonna say prompt.
M-T.
M-T.
I think Yiddish is not included here.
Too bad.
I love it.
Hey, American English is the language that absorbs every other language that it touches. So
is this be like a number, a cardinal number of some kind?
This is a. I would put it on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of like the frequency of using it. It's fairly common. It's actually a fairly common word.
Really?
You might see it when you see like people in the morning and you're interacting with them in the morning. And
unkempt? No, that's got a P.
No.
You're talking about what may have happened during the night while you were asleep.
Dreamt
is the word.
Okay, because I kept on thinking it's got to be a German word, right?
I said dreamt.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
I said dreamt.
No, I didn't. I definitely didn't.
My bad.
I was thinking I'm like dreamt.
And that's only because of bastardized English, because dreamed is the proper form of it.
Well, that's the thing. I've had arguments with my kids about this because they're like, dream.
No, but the English used almost every ED word could be a T.
Yeah, like M-I-X-T, any Scrabble player will tell you. That's a word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, for question 20.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of like a special question from all the other ones we've done. I think we have just enough time to figure this one out. I'm going to give you four things that happened in American history. And your job is to put them in order.
Oh, dear.
From the earliest thing that happened to the most recent thing that happened. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Jackie Robinson announces his retirement from Major League Baseball.
Okay.
The Big Mac hamburger is introduced. I love Steve's thinking. The world's first Kmart opens in Garden City, Michigan. Of course, where Steve is writing the questions
from. We're doing
from.
The same hand thing.
Like, what are you guys, mincing here? What's going on?
I'm trying to plot it out in my head.
But not least, Tina Fey is born.
Oof.
I think Tina Fey was born.
Which one is the earliest
Kmart.
Of those things?
I'm going to go Tina Fey.
I would say Kmart.
Jackie Robinson.
I'll say Jackie
retired.
Robinson.
When did she?
Not
when did
played,
he
retire?
I'm going to go with Big Mac.
In the 70s, I think.
Let's just say Jackie Robinson retires. Okay. Big Mac comes out. World's first Kmart opens. Tina Fey is born.
I was right. It was Jackie Robinson.
Whoa! I didn't get the answer. That was just the list. That was just the list.
Kmart, not Kresge. Okay, let's see. Kmart.
I will go one more step. One of these things happened in January of 1957.
That sounds like
that
Big
sounds
Mac.
Like Kmart.
Okay, yeah, okay, because Tina Fey is not that
old. Yeah, she's Tina like Fey's around, not, yeah.
No,
yeah,
she's
like 40 something.
No, Tina Fey's not that old.
50 tops, yeah.
57.
So she's born in 70.
I think Kmart. I think
the logic Kmart, of the professors here is
Big Mac,
fascinating.
Tina Fey.
I don't think Tina Fey is that old.
No, Tina Fey's definitely born in the late 60s, 70s.
Yeah. So sometimes it's a little hard for me to hear when you're all talking at the same time, but I still think it's fun because that's academics. But the first thing that happened on the list, January 1957, was when Jackie Robinson announced his retirement.
Okay, then I would say Kmart was after the next.
Kmart was number two.
All right, nice.
That was January of 1962.
And then Big Mac.
Big Mac is 67.
Yes. And then Tina Fey.
Tina Fey was born in 1970.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. So the key there is Robinson, I think he joined the Dodgers in 47, but he'd already been playing several years.
Wow. Okay,
so he was older.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yes. He, you know.
Yeah, I got confused because I was superimposing other ball players over Robinson.
Big Mac
and I'm like,
came
wait.
Out as a response to the Whopper, which was in, I think, 63.
There you go.
I just want a cheeseburger now.
I know.
Comes back to food.
Always comes back to food.
Cheeseburger sounds really, really good.
Oh, speaking of which, did you guys see the order for Girl Scout cookies?
Does one of the Bell girls also?
Violet Bell sells cookies. Uh-oh.
You bring in the form. You got a
form? Who's got time?
Well, they have the digital form
it's
now.
It's all digital.
They have the digital form now.
Everything's digital. Wait. Signature. Don't tell me that the cookies are digital.
Right.
Then we'll be in real trouble.
You get a non-fungible cookie.
Non-fungible token.
Fungible?
Fungible.
Yeah. We will have an entire question set in the future on fungibility. But until then, the time has come to say goodbye, Professor Maxwell.
Adios.
Professor Bell.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Farewell.
Professor Maggio.
I'm a fun guy.
Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
And Professor Boats.
Not a fungible thing.
And now, these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.